It's lovely to see you all this morning. Forgive me, those of you who have heard me say some of these things before, but there are some people here who, amazingly though it seems, have not. It is a huge joy today to be launching Oliver's project. As some of you know, Oliver was one of the first artists that we approached to come up with a new project for the London 2012 Festival. And the London 2012 Festival, of course, is over the whole of the UK. It has over 12,000 events and more than 25,000 artists. But as Nick Sirota says, the purpose of the festival is to offer not just tremendous, new, astonishing events and projects that live up to the once-in-a-lifetime tag that the Olympic and Paralympic Games has, but also it is the chance for artists to talk to the whole world when the eyes of the world are on us. And this project, I think, is one of our best examples of a project that takes the Olympic values to help people all over the world through the opportunity of Olympic truce to think about sustainability, about anti-poverty, but also to take the inspiration of a world-class artist with a piece of world-class art and look at the power that art has when the eyes of the world are on us. It is one of our most extraordinary and important projects with the best chance, I feel, of leaving a lasting legacy, that phrase that everybody asks us to achieve. For us at the London 2012 Festival, this is a very wonderful day, and I'm delighted to hand over now to Oliver.
Thank you, Ruth. Thank you, Nick. And thank you to all of you for coming here. It's very exciting. I've been looking very much forward to this, and we're starting something that is highly personal to me today, and we are announcing something which I've been working on together with my partner, this Frederik Ottesen, who's a solar engineer sitting here in the front. We work now for 1.5 years, and I would like to just briefly start at the beginning, a little bit closer to where I was at the Tate here, almost 10 years ago, actually 9 years ago. And when I was here, what struck me and what later became very important for me was that the feeling of sharing an experience actually became instrumental in sort of constituting the experience. Clearly people, I hope, enjoyed seeing the exhibition with the weather project, but everybody made reference to the fact that they were not alone in the space, and I was very excited about the fact that the idea of community or the way that people shared the space seemed to be inseparable from the fact that they were having a special experience or a good time, however they wanted to define it. And of course, this is not something that has a long, let's say, history, an art history where sharing, looking at a painting, would be considered a way of looking at it. As we know, museums are primarily, in the tradition of contemplation, you look at a painting and you sort of pretend that you are alone in a museum. These things has changed, and as museum also changes, this is something that influenced my work after Tate a lot. The whole idea of sharing and working with an idea for communities is something that I've been very interested in. And when starting this conversation with the Olympics first, I very much talked about, so what is this about and how do you feel when you see the torch? What does it mean to have a torch and be the one running with the torch? What does the Olympic fundamentally mean? And out of this, I developed a number of ideas, some of which I called the global campfire, some of which was very much centered around how can we maybe focus on what is not in London, but what goes on elsewhere. And the issue of power, you know, having power, having access to power, having access to electricity, raised when I one night sat with Frederik discussing a solar airplane project that he's working on that I was a little bit involved with. And as it got dark and we kept talking, we realized both of us at the same time that why don't we just for now do a handhold solar light? Why don't we prolong the day into the evening? right after that, it actually took off very fast. But now I'm here at the Tate wanting to share with you some of the ideas that I'm going to present over the summer. The whole thing for me personally had a lot to do with the equation between thinking and doing. I actually think a lot about the world, but I don't necessarily feel that I do a lot about the world. We all know a lot about the world, partly because you all write about the world. And I was very interested in where's the threshold where you go from thinking to doing? What is sort of the mechanism that takes you from what you know into what can you do? And of course, I'm very excited about the idea of this being part physical, and this is about our body, and the way that we walk through a museum might be one way of looking at visiting a museum. Engaging in the world is not just thinking about it, but actually walking through it and doing something physically. So the physical experience of this lamp is something that I've been looking into, and this is why the presentation here, the Tate, will have ideas like the one we see here, where the physical, should I say, exchange with this idea is going to be how we are going to talk to you about it. In the world today, there's 1.6 billion people having no access to electricity. This means that every fifth person do not have access to electricity approximately, which would mean, you know, if you put a row or sort of cut this room in two, all the ones sitting over here would not have electricity and the ones over there would. So it's quite a few, and the idea of this was very simple, with a solar panel and an LED and a battery inside, you would actually, with 5 hours of sunlight, be able to charge and have 5 hours of little sunlight. This, of course, has huge implications with regards to having access to energy. And of course, there are stories such as learning to read, not sitting next to a kerosene lamp, which is highly pollutive, and so on. But it goes a little bit further than just learning to read, because as we know, when looking at something such as reading a book, you also start to reflect upon yourself. So at some point, this, I think, also becomes about identity, developing a sense of yourself, and it becomes about much more complex things than just learning your ABC. We worked extensively with developing a business model, as we are very clear about the success of this project, are really about the delivery. If we can't deliver, it's not a success. We developed a model that we call profit to the point, which means that the harder it gets to bring these people to the end user, so the people bring this lamp to the people who actually need it, the more profitable it gets. There's a profit chain which increases as the further away you get from where we produce the lamp. Here at the Tate, we're going to make a number of different events. We are going to start out with the Tate blackouts, and of course, already back at the weather project, I was quite excited about the fact that this was a power station, our former power station, and the whole idea for blackout being initiated here, of course, makes sense. But not only that, I think a blackout is a way of experiencing having no light physically. It's not just a concept, it's actually walking in darkness. It's actually having the light in your hand, and not just, let's say, using it as a way of guiding, but also seeing. And you could talk about maybe suddenly the eye, or what you see with, is in your hand. And by doing so, you also, let's say, give the tools to see to the people, and they can somehow curate or choose what to see themselves. We are a little bit later starting our sunlight graffiti project. I'll show a tiny film about that in a second. That's an exciting project where we are going to ask the visitors to the museum to use the little sun lamp again physically to do something with it, and which we gather a number of pictures and we'll collect the pictures and do a project with those. I think I would like just to test with you how this actually feels, and if you don't mind, if you want turning it on, maybe I can get the computer to turn off the lighting here. So You can sort of try it out a little bit on your, if you have a piece of paper, if you have something in which you can, with what you can illuminate. While doing so, I can tell you that our idea was to compete with the most commonly used source of energy, which is kerosene or petroleum. Petroleum costs, according to the World Bank, for a family, approximately $5 a month. This gives us a benchmark for a price. This gives us a benchmark for how much money we use to produce this, and also how much light we have to have. So this has 10 times the amount of light compared to a kerosene single with lamp, and it is 10 times cheaper than kerosene. This has 1,000 charges, giving it a 3-year lifespan. We hope that this is a robust economic argument. The fact that we are 10 times cheaper and 10 times stronger gives us 100 times more power for the value. You have to see that people living off-grid typically pay 300 times more for electricity than people living in-grid. Off-grid meaning having no access to electricity, and in-grid obviously the opposite. You look lovely from up here. So, besides a number of facts and questions about facts, it's also something which I just finally want to say is very important to me personally. I have for the last few years traveled quite a bit on the Horn of Africa, East Africa. I've gotten more and more involved there. I'm involved with the university in Addis Ababa. And I've come to know people who the last year or two together with FedEx has developed the language and the thinking around this together. So of course it's very important for me to emphasize that this thing is something we try to do very much based on how does it actually work in the hands of a typical 10-year-old who has to look at this and say, wow, this is exciting, I mean, light is nice, but it's also more than light. It has something else, and I then say, well, it's also a work of art. Or a mother of a household, maybe 3 children, the father is maybe a little inconsistent, the typical average family, and the mother also needs to be saying, I'm going to wear this during the day, I want it to look like something I'm actually wearing, and I'm excited about it. And a lot of these questions and discussions were the ones that was brought together and designed this. It's been an incredibly exciting project. And here in London, the Tate has been very helpful, the Olympics has been very helpful. And together with Wolf Olings, we worked now for 6 months organizing the business models, or the business plan. So we feel we have a whole holistic map together now. And all of this map, and I want to emphasize this, is what I consider the artwork. It's not just the little lamp, it's not just this thing I have in my hand, it is how this thing gets into the hands of the people that need it.